We get an inside look at the state of Michigan thanks to our next guests. Brenda and Chuck Marshall have been chronicling the beauty and culture of Michigan for more than a decade now. They're a husband and wife duo. Their stories, filled with local insights and experiences, are published on lifeinmichigan.com. In addition to his writing, Chuck is passionate about photography. He's a great photographer and has become a prominent documenter of Michigan's music and craft beer scenes. Together, Chuck and Brenda promote Michigan one story at a time. Chuck, how did this all begin for you? And let's start, first of all, with how you and Brenda met. How did that happen?
So we actually met online. I believe it was match.com years and years ago. That was actually our email anniversary is coming up in December, December 13th. And then we met for the very first time on December 17th in 2009 at Grizzly Peak.
Brenda, Chuck is quite the romantic remembering all those dates.
Oh, he does. He is a romantic. He's such a sweetheart. I forget a date and I'm like, oh no, there's flowers. What are you for?
So you both met online, but didn't you both work at the University of Michigan, Brenda, as well?
Yep. I just retired a year and a half ago now. I'd been there 36 years, but we never stumbled upon each other there. Different world. I was on campus. He was on the hospital side. So.
Okay. So what did you do, Brenda, at that time?
I was the assistant director for the Mary A. Rackham Institute. I was the administrator for the institute. So, you know, kind of wrangled everybody and kept them in line where they're supposed to go and managed their billing system, their finances, did their budget, you know, all that kind of not very fun stuff.
Well, the fun stuff came later, obviously, in your retirement years. Chuck, what about you? What were you doing at the university?
I worked for the medical school and then which then became MCIT. So I was always in IT with either the medical school or Michigan Medicine. So when I left, I was the manager for IT at Michigan Medicine, doing the billing and working when we were in offices over at the KMS building over on State Street. That's where the billing offices were. So I was there for almost 30 years.
Were either of you doing any online publications at that time? Because Chuck, I know you've been quite a connoisseur of craft beer. I know that, you know, you've got this love of music here in Michigan as well. Were you doing anything like what you and Brenda are doing today with lifeinmichigan.com?
You know, Brenda had been doing something. That's kind of what spawned everything. Like I used to play music and I wasn't doing that anymore. I was getting into photography. I met Brenda. She had a blog where she was just, you know, writing about herself and her family and her kids.
Oh.
And I started this thing. It was going to be just chucking around, which was, you know, some of my photos. And I think I posted one photo. And Brenda's like, what are you doing here? So we decided to combine forces. And that's how Life in Michigan was born.
It's an incredible online publication chronicling your travels around our state and elsewhere. And what you both love so much, describe, Brenda, for me what lifeinmichigan.com is like.
Well, they would find at the moment a lot of content based on beer because that's kind of what we've been focused on. But I think what they would find is kind of like an off the road. If you were like to go on the back roads of Michigan, you'd find it back road experience of what Michigan is really like. It's not going to be the stuff that you're going to find, you know, like here's the 10 best things you need to do in Michigan. It's going to be a very different curated experience of life in Michigan. You're going to go to a lighthouse, perhaps. You're going to go stay in a yurt, maybe. You're going to go to a really cool restaurant up in the UP called Streganona. You're going to maybe go on a foraging hike along Carp River up in the UP. I mean, it's just going to be like not what you're going to find anywhere else.
In fact, from your stay in the lighthouse where you, the two of you, Chuck and Brenda, became lighthouse keepers. You write, our first full day as lighthouse keepers was a whirlwind of excitement, nerves, and a surprising amount of DIY. We kicked off the day with a stroll down to the water where we witnessed a mama duck channeling her inner action hero, chasing away a seagull with a suspiciously hungry look in its eyes. Steph, the museum's director, promised us an orientation at 9. We had questions. Oh boy, did we have questions. And not just your standard where's the bathroom kind of questions. We had queries that would make a seasoned handyman scratch his head. One, can we fix the hose spigot? It's spraying more water than a fire hydrant hit by a car. Steph's answer, yes, please. Two, can we wage chemical warfare on the weeds with Roundup? Steph's answer, no. Apparently the weeds have diplomatic immunity. Three, any chance we can go medieval on the grass with the weed whip? Steph's answer, yes, please. I guess the grass had it coming. What was that like, Chuck, to be in that lighthouse and be a keeper of the lighthouse?
Oh, you know, it was unlike anything that we've done before. It was a great experience that I would highly encourage anybody that loves lighthouses or just being in Michigan to flavor for. But for us, it was, you know, we got to stay in the assistant lighthouse keeper's quarters up at the Grand Traverse Lighthouse up in Northport in the Lealana Peninsula. And it was just so fun to be able to be there. We, you know, we worked as Brenda was at the front desk, helping people get oriented and into the museum. My brother-in-law, Greg, and I were kind of running around doing things, either mowing or one of the steps broke. So that's why the DIY happened. We had to rebuild their porch. And so it was just a bunch of little things that kept us busy for a, you know, full week of activities. It was fun.
Incredible. You also went on one of the big ships sailing. Brenda, tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So we did. That was what? Geez.
It was right after the pandemic.
It was right after the pandemic. And we actually went with Diana Stampler with a group she was doing because they were doing the haunt. She was talking about our haunted lighthouses, actually. And, you know, that was an experience. You know, you had to kind of get used to being bored. I'm going to just be honest about that, because there's not much to do once you get out on the water, because it was, as they said, what did the captain say? We need a little bit more carpet and a little less linoleum. So the water was like flat and we had no wind. And so we were all just sort of sitting around, right? It was great fun. We bonded with, you know, our shipmates. We had incredible food. I think I gained, oh my God, 5 pounds. I was only on there like 3 days, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Chuck, you want to add to that?
Oh, I just want to say when you're on those, it was the Tall Ship Manitou, which launches out of Sutton's Bay. And what was really kind of interesting is those bunks, because you're basically in these little one-man bunks. So I was on top, Brenda was on the bottom in our little cabin room. And so everybody's in these little cubbies. And so, you know, there's no room to really like hang out in your room. So everybody had to be up on deck. So we all had our places and we'd roam around and, you know, but like Brenda said, you know, the crew's doing the work. You're just sitting there relaxing, which is fun. You know, that was great. So basically sitting and eating and talking. And it was fun for 4 days. We did that.
It's so great that your experiences, that you're exposing everyone to what you go through. And especially because both of you seem to be so willing to grasp whatever is in front of you and to do it and to go on these extraordinary types of experiences to see what they're like and then to write about them in lifeinmichigan.com. But Brenda, I know you kind of, you hold the court though when it comes to where you're sleeping. You won't sleep on the ground?
No, I don't want to sleep on the ground. We did do the yurt this year though. We went over to Tawas and we stayed in, I don't like to sleep on the ground. But we did sleep in sleeping bags on deck on the tall ship.
Oh. Yeah, that was fun.
It was fun.
Chuck, how do you get Brenda to agree to all of this then?
Well, you know, half the time she's coming up with the ideas. So the yurt was her idea. I think when Diana Stample also has a book about the lighthouses, mm-hmm. The haunted lighthouses. And so she was like, oh, we could, you know, stay on that boat. Let's do that. So half the time, and even most recently, we were up in the Marquette area, and we stayed in Little Presqu'île in this little cabin, very, very beautiful. It rained, but it was still beautiful. We had a little pet chipmunk named Emmett. you know, and but that was all Brenda's idea. She comes up with that stuff.
That's great. From lifeinmichigan.com, we're talking with Chuck and Brenda Marshall. And Chuck, you write about the World Expo of Beer, which you guys experienced back in spring of 2023. You write, "We barrel rolled into Frankenmuth for another sudsy adventure at the 26th Annual World Expo of Beer. The expo takes place on the third weekend in May each year at Heritage Park. Within a trifecta of fun made up of the Harvey Kern Pavilion, the Platts Tent, and the JC's Tent, you can ramble through a bevy of beers, meads, ciders, and ready-to-drink cocktails." Both of you have such a great way of writing that you really grab your readers into the world that you're experiencing. How that kind of writing style and how you're doing that, how did that evolve, Chuck, for you?
So for me, like, I would say it may seem like odd because I don't really write totally in his style, but Hunter S. Thompson, his gonzo journalism, you know, he puts himself in the story, you know, and that's typically not what you do in a journalistic approach. You're not the story, right? But I always felt like it's kind of fun to relay, at least I hope it is fun for someone to experience what I'm seeing and feeling and those things. So it's not necessarily about me, but it's me trying to give some kind of projection that the people, so whether it's music, beer, travel, trying to give them that kind of sense of you're there too with me.
Yeah, I think that's really true. A great description there. And Brenda, this is just one of your endeavors. There's a lot that the two of you together as husband and wife are doing now in your retirement years. You've also started a newsletter. Tell us about this.
Our newsletter, which is called the Sunday Sip, and it comes out on Sundays, and we take turns writing it. And the newsletter was a way to, like, break, if you will, out of the chain of going and having constantly social media being our only mode of getting to our supporters, our community. And with the newsletter, we're hoping to be able to build that community back, build the community, expand it, and have it more of a two-way where we can have conversations up on Substack through our newsletter and what's going on there, so we can have more of a connection with our community. Did I catch all of that, Chuck? Did I miss stuff?
Yeah, I think it's we're also trying to be proactive so that we can promote events that are coming up, because a lot of our writing is after the fact. So it's we went to this and experienced this and we're sharing it with you. The newsletter is a way to get a little bit of a, like Brenda was saying, inside track, so you can see what we're working on, what we're where we're planning to go to visit, and then also, you know, like, what are we listening to, what are we enjoying on TV, what are we reading? We've been sharing our book club stuff, so
yeah. That's great. Yeah. And Brenda, I like the idea that this is your way of kind of counteracting social media, taking it into your own hands and having this that newsletter, and you build up your audience that way. So how do people access that, Brenda?
So I can give you a link. We have a link on our lifeinmichigan.com. It says subscribe. There's a box. You can subscribe through that box on Life in Michigan. And you'll go through there's a couple different prompts. You can get pretty much everything for free. Of course, Substack's going to want you to, you know, do a paid mode, but you can get everything for free from Life in Michigan through our newsletter. You'll get regular reminders or prompts in your email when we've posted something on Life in Michigan, so you'll never miss anything that's going on in Life in Michigan in addition to the newsletters.
That's great. Again, lifeinmichigan.com. Chuck, what is Fans with Bands? Another endeavor of yours.
Yeah, that was a, as they say, a pandemic baby. So during the pandemic, I do a lot of concert photography. I'm very involved in the local music scene that way, and doing national bands as well. But that all stopped when we had the pandemic and we were locked down. And I was trying to think of, like, what would be a good way to do something. And so Fans with Bands is a podcast I had been doing for other publications, interviews with musicians, national musicians, and it was just me talking to them. And I always thought it would be fun. Well, like, what if fans could be part of that and then ask questions as well, or just listen if they wanted to be real time with somebody they admired. So the idea was, like, you know, it'd be this big thing, but it's really turned into, like, more of a local grassroots Michigan-based podcast. So I'll get a local band on and they, you know, will share out on the socials saying, hey, we're going to be talking. And then on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, we get together, we talk about music and what they're doing, learn about their band. And then it goes out onto the, you know, podcast services. So Apple, Spotify, and all that stuff.
And people can find Fans with Bands on anywhere they get their podcasts.
Yep. Anywhere.
Chuck, how would you describe the music scene in Michigan?
I would say the music scene is fantastic and largely, I want to say, ignored by a lot of our PR in our state. There's cities that are called out like Austin, Texas, Nashville, LA, and New York that have, you know, for their music. Detroit was, you know, is the home of rock and roll. It is part of the huge, you know, with Motown. Punk rock in Ann Arbor was born here. So there's a history, but there's also a continuing scope of music that's right here, right now. Every day, you can find a great show in Ann Arbor, Ipsy, Detroit, Marquette, wherever, it's everywhere. And I think if more people would take, you know, hopefully what we're doing is, you know, giving some people some exposure to that. You know, there's like a great fest that our friend Chris Taylor puts on at the Blind Pig every summer called Fuzz Fest. So it's kind of like stoner rock, punk rock stuff. They do great country music things over at Valentine in Ferndale. So there's just so much. And I think the scene is vibrant. I think we just need a little bit more infrastructure to help us promote that. And yeah, just people to, you know, keep coming out and finding that stuff.
You know, that's kind of true of the beer scene too. And that's something else I wanted to ask you about. You're quite a connoisseur. And again, how would you describe that industry in Michigan and what has transpired over the last couple of decades?
Oh, well, in the last couple of decades, we've gone from just starting to do like have breweries, you know, like Bell's was one of our first ones, Real Ale in Chelsea, which is sadly gone now. But anyway, in the last decade, that's grown up so that we've got pubs everywhere. I think we're over 300 and some in the Michigan Brewers Guild. There's just a ton of great craft beer, not just beer, beverages. You know, we have distillers, we have a huge wine scene, we have a great cider and mead. So there's just a wealth of that. But as far as the beer scene goes, I think we are seeing a little bit of saturation on a national level for the big sellers. But I think at the local scene, so like just down the road from us is Mothfire. There's Holmes. There's you know, there's a new one going to be opening up where Townies was. I think there's plenty of opportunities for great beer. I do want to give a plug for what's coming up on Friday and Saturday. So Saturday we've got the Detroit Fall Beer Festival, which is a great way if you have a costume, it's on that weekend, so you can come dressed up and enjoy beers. It's fantastic. All the great Michigan breweries will be there in Eastern Market in Detroit. And then on Friday, kind of a warm up, if you want to spend the full weekend down in Detroit, head down to Batch Brewing in Corktown. They are doing a collaboration with City Built out in Grand Rapids. City Built has started this a collaborative to promote Latinos, the Latino culture in brewing, and they called it My Gente, so my people. Mm-hmm. And so they are the very first collaboration beer is Batch Brewing and City Built. They have a little celebration with music and food on Friday, the 27th.
You know, people often talk about Midwesterners not wanting to ballyhoo their success or talk about, well, you know, if you're doing great beer or you've got a great band, you know, we tend to keep it to ourselves. And I don't know if it's just that Midwestern sensibility, but we don't get out there and promote ourselves as much as you see other sections of the country do in these genres. And I just sometimes wonder, you know, thank goodness we have people like the Marshalls here that we're talking with that have lifeinmichigan.com to write about these kinds of things. I've learned a lot by checking out your website and seeing where the two of you have gone and what you're doing. I live vicariously through you. You also happen to be my neighbor, so I live vicariously through you when I see you walking outside my back sunroom. So if anyone's wondering how they can go to all these places and drink all this beer and eat all this food, they are very slim. It's all the walking. I'm positive about that. but really, I mean, I think about that a lot about how, and that was very true in the tech industry in the beginning as well. We weren't real good about telling our story here in Michigan. And now, thanks to people like you, our story's getting out there in a better way, Chuck and Brenda. So congratulations. The two of you do a really great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Brenda, one last question. What would you recommend to someone who doesn't get out there and enjoy all of these amenities and all the kinds of back roads that you have traveled with Chuck and kind of brought to life through lifeinmichigan.com? What would you like to say to those individuals of how they can kind of get out of their rut? You know, how do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, you visit lifeinmichigan.com first. I think you have to find a community first. I mean, I think finding a community of like-minded people that want to enjoy beer, or if they want to go and do cider, or if they want to hike, or if they want to travel, if they want to go up and explore Traverse City. I mean, I find it's always a little bit more fun if you do it with a few more people. Mm-hmm. But yet we've had some amazing experiences when we were up in Marquette for 16 days this past summer. We kind of had two ideas we wanted to do, and we just went into the Cognition, and we were sitting there, and before long they had a whole list of things for us to go do and explore up in Marquette. And I think it's just finding your tribe out there that like to explore, right?
Find your tribe. What great advice. I love that. Thank you so much. Great talking with both of you today from lifeinmichigan.com, Brenda and Chuck Marshall on the Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.